In continuing with the spiritual world of Tobit, he now advises his son to watch yourself, my son, from every form of fornication. Watch yourself from all kinds of immorality. This advice holds great value, and perhaps a very small number of parents could give this sort of advice to their children today. Not to mention that the tendency does exist for some parents to encourage and push their children to experience bodily sins, especially the boys, but lately the girls as well. So Tobit advises his son to stay clear from every form of immorality. The first part of this verse is watch yourself. Watch yourself, my son. And we will deal with this part of the verse exclusively due to the great significance of watchfulness. Watchfulness is of great importance in the area of Orthodox spirituality, the guarding of one's senses. God repeatedly gives the command in Deuteronomy 4:9. He commands, watch yourself and guard your soul to the fullest. In Deuteronomy 15:9, we read, watch yourself so no hidden evil thought will enter your heart. Watch yourself so no evil thoughts or evil desires find their way to your heart, which would be sinful. Do not entertain an evil thought or desire in your heart or your soul. And we here have, once again, one of the central themes of our Orthodox theology, nipsis, or vigilance, or sobriety, as it is often called. The attempt to purify the heart, which is a prerequisite if we are to see God. Blessed are those that have a pure heart, for they will see God. So here we are called to watch ourselves. We are called to watch the enemy. And most people would say the enemy is the devil. And undoubtedly the devil is a great enemy. He has great expertise and wisdom of thousands of years, and we must search out his traps. He's full of evil traps. So we must keep our eyes open. St. Paul says that as Christians, we must have the mind of Christ. And having this mind of Christ, we will know the methods or traps of Satan. For someone to have the mind of Christ is an enormous state to be in, which means I think in the same way that Christ would. The very thing that we worldly Christians cannot understand, forever going to great lengths to justify our beloved passions. We often hear, what's wrong with smoking? What's wrong with watching football games? What's wrong with catching the late night show or the HBO comedy hour? Would Christ participate in any or all of the above? Then if Christ would not, then I must act accordingly. So Satan is our enemy, but another great enemy is the world. Not the individual people, but the world in the spiritual and ethical sense, or St. John says, the entire world is entrenched in evil. The masses today, the world generally today, has fallen in the arms of the devil. What is the world? St. Isaac the Syrian says it is an inclusive name of other passions. So the totality of other passions is defined by the Holy Father as the world and a great adversary. So the devil crucified Christ, but the world crucified Christ also. So we must take a close look at these two enemies of ours. When Adam was created in paradise, he was commanded to work in the garden and to watch the garden. But from whom were he was supposed to watch paradise from? Was there an enemy or a thief? How would they guard the garden? Sure, paradise was an external reality with the ground, the trees, the animals. But the essence of paradise was in the heart of Adam, in his soul. Just like the Lord said that the kingdom of God is inside you. So Adam and Eve should watch themselves, guard their heart, because that's where they would lose paradise. The battle would be within themselves, in their heart. And this is the meaning of the commandment, work and watch the Garden of Eden. And here a third enemy unfolds which can destroy us, and this great enemy is our own self, our fallen nature. When we don't watch ourselves, we can self-destruct. And if we want to classify these enemies, the worst one is ourself, then the world, and then the devil. Ourself can easily betray us, and if Adam and Eve lost paradise back then, we can lose the kingdom of God very easily today. St. John the Chrysostom says, if you yourself don't harm yourself, then no one else can harm you. Not the world, and certainly not the devil. Again, our most powerful enemy is ourself and our passions, then the world, and finally the devil. So let's begin to see exactly how we can watch ourselves, which we must agree that in today's day, it is a formidable task. In Proverbs we read, take every precaution to guard your heart. The Niptic Fathers comment here that the Bible says, guard the heart and not the eyes. Why? Because it is impossible to not see evil. As we walk down the street, our eyes will see things and our ears will hear different voices. So it is not possible always to control what reaches our senses, but we must guard our heart. What we happen to see or hear must not enter into the workshop of our heart. God will give us the grace to pull our eyes away from a coincidental picture or image while walking somewhere. However, when we go to pay to enjoy this questionable movie, when we pay to have HBO and other intruders come to visit us at home, when we're allowed to listen and watch all kinds of questionable audio and videotapes, is God going to watch us then? Most likely not. God respects our freedom even though we don't respect His commandments. So God will not protect us from these passions which will victimize us for the rest of our lives. So we must first attempt to watch ourselves, and in seeing our struggle, God will send His grace for our full protection. If we stand, it is because of God's grace, as we read in the Psalms. If God does not build the house, the builders have labored in vain. And if the Lord does not guard the city, then the guards lost sleep in vain. But God will watch the city or the citizen if the citizen truly wants God's protection. St. Basil says, and at this point we'll begin to rob St. Basil because he did a tremendous study on this subject. He gave a tremendous homily with the title, Watch Yourself. Needless to say, we would go on for a long time if we would look at the homily in depth. So we will simply use some of the key points. He says, watch your heart, because sin takes place in the secret workshop in the heart. Sin takes place in the secret workshop of the heart. Truly, the workshop of our heart is so secretive. No one knows what we may think or what we desire at any given moment. It is a secret workshop where a sin or a virtue can be cultivated. As our Lord plainly says, whoever saw a woman and desired her in his heart, he already committed adultery. The devil knows this commandment of the Lord very well, since every other commercial on television is designed to promote this desire. So we know what to watch from. But we must also find out what is the self of ours that we must watch. Our self consists of our entire existence, our entire being. Our soul and our body consists of a man. A man is a soul and body. We often think that we must watch our soul, but we downplay the care for our body, and we insist on endangering our body in 1,002 different ways. When we speed while in an automobile or on a ski slope doing 60 miles an hour, or on a speedboat or a motorcycle, a true killer for the youngsters of Greece, by the way, the passion of speed and racing does kill. So we must understand that we consist of soul and body. Our soul consists of the intellect, the emotion, and the willpower. We must also mention that the soul does not consist of these three parts, but it is simple and not compound. But it has these three views: the logic or the intellect, the sentiment or the emotion, and the will or willpower. We must be careful to keep these three areas of the soul out of balance. This is extremely important to avoid having one of these areas of the soul supersede or overcome the other two. The intellect should not be developed or increased to the degree where it nearly wipes out the sentiment, nor should the emotional or sentimental side run rampant, nearly eliminating the common sense. Needless to say, our public education system today emphasizes the side of the intellect while ignoring the sentimental or the side of the willpower. The obvious result is that only a piece of the human personality is being nourished, and we must be very careful to develop the entire personality, to nourish all three parts of the soul, the intellectual, the sentimental, and the will. It is also important that these three powers of the soul are found at a state of peace with each other and not at a state of war. Is it possible that my emotions can be at a friction with my common sense? Certainly. This happens very often. To have my brain telling me A and to have my heart telling me B. To understand this better, the mind and the heart are like the two spouses in the marriage, and the family has one head, and the head is the husband. So if we have two heads in this couple, then these two-headed organism will be at a perpetual state of friction. But if the family unit is to have one head, then the wife submits to the husband. In other words, if the heart or the emotional side gets carried away, ignoring the will of the brain or common sense, then the person will fall apart. This is why the nous, or the intellect, it's called the ruler of the three. So we must understand that the mind should govern the man in cooperation always with the emotion and the will. But the final decision belongs to the mind. Our thinking, feelings, and actions should be in complete harmony and not in a state of friction or confrontation. How many times do we make a fast decision based on an impulse, only based on emotions, and it does not take us very long to regret it? A balanced and stable person will use all three powers of the soul in his daily decision-making process. We must also take care not to have any of the three powers of the soul become incapacitated. And this can happen by disease, by the way. There are many psychological diseases out there today, such as the terrible disease of rationalism in matters of faith, a deadly disease which has nothing to do with the healthy rationale, but orthologismos, or unhealthy rationalism, which is a mind disease. The mind not accepting anything other than what it sees or hears or understands. There are infected minds out there that cannot accept the resurrection of the body or the change of the holy gifts into the body and blood of our Lord. They cannot accept the miraculous icons or saints. So the mind can become infected, but so can the emotional world. The emotional side can be infected from excessive feelings of love or sadness. To love a pet excessively and to spend a fortune on it and to lavish our dog or our cat at a time when the kids in our neighborhood do not have enough to eat and so on. This is an unhealthy state. What we need to understand is that sin infects something from these three powers of the soul. Our emotional side can become infected from hate or unhealthy attraction or anything that could harm my emotional world. So I must watch my emotions, and generally my heart was the base of my emotions. And I must watch my nous or my brain being the base of the sense. However, these are merely expressions because the soul contains the entire body. The soul is not to be found inside the body. As a foolish heart surgeon expected, he was cynically looking for the soul of the patient after he got to the heart. No, the soul is all over the body, and it actually contains the body. I must also watch my will, so it does not become infected from sloth or apathy. The I don't care or I want to be left alone type of attitude. Sloth or spiritual laziness is a tremendous sin, one of the seven deadly or mortal sins. St. Basil also says, watch yourselves to be able to discern between your actions what can destroy you and what can save you. Unfortunately, most people today have no clue on the things that harm or help the soul. St. Basil also suggests, watch yourself from all around because of the many traps. See how the birds behave during their feeding time. They are at a constant state of signals of the birds. No, but we must be watchful and careful of our surroundings. So watch yourself, St. Basil yourself, that you don't become attached on mundane things and you treat these things as permanent and eternal. Be careful that you don't ignore that will go. This is so it. Such a great point. And much attention is to the things of talk. Our Lord talks on this very thing when he says, wife. We all know the story of Lot, the commandment the family received from the two angels. Where that no one looks back. Lot looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Her husband and her children did not turn back to or to look out her. No, they did not turn back because they were also in danger being followed by the two angels. Now, why did our Lord tell us to keep remembering Lot's wife, not to become like her? What did she do? Her heart was attached to her house. Her household, her material possessions. She could not swallow this whole thing. She could not accept that her beloved house, her home would be destroyed, and her city would be burned down to ashes. So she looked back to see what was to see her house, and she became a pillar of salt. The Lord also gave the same warning to the Christians while prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem at 70 AD. Do turn back, because he who turns back to materialism and concentrates on evil becomes spiritual. In basal advice, watch your saying. Do not constantly check the way that the Lord wants you to walk. If you are living your life according to His commandments, maybe your tongue is running ahead of your then acceptable to God. Show yourself because it's mortal. From the dust of the earth, and you will return to earth. Of course, there are people around us to strive and push and shove and struggle. People generally step on each other for their rights until the day they die, and we ask, don't these people have any depth, no philosophy in life? What are they going to gain? We all do these things because we tend to forget that our grave is waiting for us. We forget that we're going to die. What a strange thing, a great tactic of the devil. He has convinced us that death happens to other people and not us. Bad accidents or misfortunes happen to other people, not us. Others become terminally ill, not us. No, we must have the deep realization that today one of my friends died, tomorrow could be my turn. I am not being a pessimist. No, I simply remind myself that my days are counted. This is a great philosophy. It has been said that St. Anthony had a human skull in his cell, and he used to refer to it as one of his greatest teachers. Also, one of the Persian kings had appointed a servant to remind him every morning, don't forget, my king, that you are one of the mortals. So let's not live and act as immortal, but as temporary, and this keeps our feet on the ground when our dreams and aspirations are ready to elevate us to the upper stratosphere. He who comes to the realization that he is mortal, this person becomes level-headed, humble, forgiving, just, fair. So death can become a great philosopher, a great weapon against and all vanity. And St. Basil continues, if you remember the nature of the human being, you will never become haughty and proud. Really, what am I? According to Panagiotis Trambelas, if we think our condition at the state of conception, how helplessly small we were, and how we developed in our mother's womb. Sometimes we seem to forget our humble beginnings, and a few years later, we are ready to tell our parents that they know nothing, and what's worse yet, we rebel against our Father in heaven. And St. Basil continues, if you watch yourself, you will remember these things about yourself. Remember that we are here today and gone tomorrow, and that our life started with two invisible cells. And finally, the Holy Father says, watch yourself so you can be able to watch and see God. This is of tremendous importance. If someone would ask, how can I know what God wants from me? What is God's will? We will succeed in this area only if we watch ourselves, guard our thoughts, control our feelings, and exercise vigilance. As we can see, there's so much wealth in these two words that the Spirit of God commends to us through Tobit, to watch ourselves. This simple command of the Lord we find also in Deuteronomy, also as we mentioned, and with this God-breathed word, Tobit admonishes his son Tobias to go to Rages of Media. And with the words, watch yourself, he does not only mean watch your soul, but also watch your body. When a mother tells her school children every morning, kids, be careful, watch yourselves, watch out. Of course, you can mean a number of things. Be polite to your teachers, be diligent, watch who you hang around with, but also be careful from the traffic, keep your eyes open. So watch yourself does not only refer to the soul, but the entire body, the entire human being, the entire person, soul and body. When God created man, He said, let us make men. He did not say, let us make a soul or let us make a body. A human being consists of both body and soul. When God began to create men, he did not create the soul first. According to Plato's perception, Plato considered the body inferior and a disgrace compared to the soul. He looked at the body as the grave of the soul. Plato was wrong. God did not create the soul and then use the body as the soul's container. No. On the other hand, he did not create the body without a soul, and at some point later, the body evolved to receive a soul, a scenario that would support Darwin's theory of evolution. In other words, man was created much like an animal with no reason, no language, and then he evolved and developed the specific human characteristics. No, this is also false. When God said, let us make men, he created soul and body simultaneously. A human being is exactly that body and soul. In the cemeteries, we do not have human beings. We have bodies, at least part of the body. And in paradise or Hades, we do not have human beings either. We have souls. The church fathers agree with this. Saint Methodius, Saint Justin, the philosopher, says, a man is a living being which consists of a soul and body. The saints in paradise are eagerly awaiting for the resurrection. In the book of the Revelation, they ask, how long, O sovereign Lord, must we await to have our blood avenged? When are you going to restore our bodies? And this is because the soul does not feel complete without the body, and the soul desires to be united with the other half, so to speak, the body that is left behind. Saint Justin goes on to say that a human being is the mixture of body and soul. So when Tobit here instructs his son, watch yourself, my son, from every form of fornication or immorality, the subject of immorality refers to the body. Some people out of ignorance actually believe that the body can sin and participate in all kinds of immorality as long as the soul stays pure. But how is that possible? We have one human being, body and soul.